Luke chapter 15, and again, this is the message that I believe the Lord would have me bring this evening. And it's been confirmed in almost all the prayers that were prayed in the prayer meeting. They mightn't have known it, but they prayed and each quoted something out of this passage of Scripture. The first hymn that we sang talked about it, and the last hymn that the choir has sung talked about the saving ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him, unto Jesus, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's come before the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the glorious gospel, the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be seen. We thank thee, our Father, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Lord, to this end, we see even in our gathering that there are those who are lost and they need to be saved. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come by thy Holy Spirit and save them tonight, to the glory of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit, O God, and that thou wilt descend upon this gathering in a freshness, and Lord, that thou wilt come and speak to men and women's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You've heard the nursery rhyme, Ba Ba Black Sheep, Have You Any Wool? We read this parable together that the Lord Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 15. And we see him talking about every human being that has ever lived. He talks about a subject that you don't often hear preached today. It's something that's offensive. It's something that people don't like hearing, and some ministers even today, a bit like the Pharisees that we've been reading about, are afraid to preach about. You see, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners. You know what he said? I didn't come into this world to save righteous people. I didn't come into this world to try and save religious people, because they don't know that they even need to be saved. They think they're all right. They think they're getting to heaven. And that's why every chance he was given, he castigated, he reprimanded the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, because they thought that they were good enough to get into heaven. Of course, they didn't like that. The old Pharisees don't like it today either. And there are plenty of them. And they fill the pulpits of our churches. And they stand there and they talk a load of waffle about how if you're good to your neighbor and you come to your church and you have communion and you're baptized and you do this and that, that you'll get to glory. And they are taking the place of the devil himself because they are liars. You make no mistake about it, my friend. If you know a minister or a so-called man of the cloth and he contradicts this book, listen to me. Listen to the word of God. Paul says, if an angel from heaven or a devil from hell comes and preaches another gospel to you than you find within the word of God, let him be damned. That's what Paul said. So you can understand why when the Lord Jesus Christ started to go into the prostitutes and the drunkards and go into the lepers and the untouchables of society and the publicans and the tax collectors, why in verse 1 and 2 the Pharisees and the scribes, it says, began to murmur, they were talking, and they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It's not even bad enough that he talks to them. But these unclean, unreligious people, this man is hobnobbing with them. The religious establishment would crucify Christ if he was here today. You better believe it. They would do the same to him if he came today. Because the message of Christ is this. I am the way. Not a church. Not a religion. Not a religious order. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, whether they be Pope or Protestant. Unless they have Christ, they have nothing. And boy, they didn't like it then. And they don't like it now. But it's the only message that can save. I wonder if you've ever been lost. You know what it's like. You're driving down the road and maybe you get lost here. I would get lost here up around the mountain. You don't know where you are and you've no map. Or maybe you can cast your mind back to an experience as a child or a toddler in the supermarket and something, a toy perhaps, or a bright light, or something colorful catches your eye and all of a sudden the wee child's away and they're lost. And they're wandering along and they don't know they're lost. They don't know that they've left their mummy or daddy. And all of a sudden it dawns on them the reality that they turn around and they can't find them. And they realize their lostness. You've seen it happen. Wandering around as happy as can be. Looking at everything around them. Then all of a sudden they stop. And then there's the wail. Isn't that right? They realize. My friend, what the Lord Jesus was talking about here was something a bit like that. You know, when you're lost and that feeling of dependence goes, you have a feeling of insecurity, a feeling of need, a feeling of fear and emptiness, a feeling that you reach out and you're groping for something to hold on to. And maybe this is the way that you feel in your life. And there is no security, no stability, no sure foundation. That's why Jesus went to the publicans and sinners. He went to people who knew that they'd made a mess of their life. He went to the people who were realists about their physical and their spiritual state. They knew they needed help. They didn't know where to get the help. They certainly didn't think the help was found in Jesus Christ. But they knew that they were far from perfect. They knew there was something missing in their lives and they needed much more. And Jesus went to them. Did he not say, they that are well, or at least they that think they're well, don't need a physician. But they that are sick, and I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't know you're sick, if you have no symptoms, you haven't a cough, you haven't a pain, you haven't a lump, you don't go to the hospital, you don't go to the doctor, but as soon as you realize there's something wrong and everything's just not right the way it should be, you get down to the doctor for help. Jesus told this parable. And he was trying to show these Pharisees and show these sinners that they were lost. He told a story about a shepherd. And he knew every one of his sheep, and he loved every one of his sheep, and he named every one of his sheep, and he could tell the difference of them, and each one was characteristic, each one was special and unique. Day by day, that shepherd lived for his sheep, and he cared for his sheep. And he brought them home day by day from the pastures. He brought them down the rocky roads and the slopes and the valleys and the mountains. And he brought them into the fold at night. And there he lay with them and kept them safe. But one night, he brought them all home. And he counted them one by name as they entered into that fold. But one was missing. One was lost. And the story is told that he went out and he left the 99 there, and they were in danger for him leaving them. But he left them because one that he loved was in danger. And it says that he went out into the mountain. He risked his life, and he risked the life of the other sheep, to go and to find the little one that was lost. And it says, when he found him, he lifted him. And they put him on his shoulder. And he carried him safely home. And boy, when he got him home, what a party he had. He got all his friends and his neighbors together, and he said, rejoice with me, for the sheep that was lost, I have found. Do you know, my friend, that you are loved? You are loved, the Bible says, with an everlasting love. You are loved with a love that is deeper than the sea, that is higher than the heavens, that is farther than east from west, north from south. You are loved with a love that is of greater volume than the whole of the universe. And it is bigger than we can ever know or fathom or measure. And God says, listen, my child, God's message to you is this: I love you. Do you know that? I'm not asking you, do you know it all up here? Sure, we all know it. Our heads and Ulster are filled with all this knowledge, but it hasn't traveled the 15 inches down to our heart. I'm asking you, do you know what it means to feel in your heart and to realize and to let it dawn upon you that no matter of all your kith and kin and friends and relatives and work colleagues hated the guts of you, that there's one. Oh, you know that there's people in your family that love you, and maybe even people that would die for you. But my friend, I say this to you, there is none that loves you like the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is that shepherd. He is willing to leave the 90 and the 9, and for you, just you, one person, he loves you so much that he is willing to come tonight and to bring you to a meeting this evening and to speak specifically to you, to woo you, to win you, and to save you. That's the love that he has for you.
You see, it's an individual love. That's why he was willing to leave 99 and go for one. He wasn't in it for the price of the sheep. He wasn't in it for the numbers game. He was in it because he loved each one individually. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you have a family of four or five, and they're all special. And there was the first one, and when they were born, that was really special. But when the last one was born, that was as special, wasn't it? And they've all different characteristics, don't they? One's quiet, one's loud. One's affectionate, one's distant. You know what I'm talking about. But you don't love any of them more than the other, do you? But you love them individually, don't you? You love them for who they are, the person that they are. You love them uniquely, and God loves you, my friend. Yes, he loves the world, but he loves you specifically and individually. The Bible says, Jesus says, that every hair of your head is numbered. Some of you haven't too many to number. But nevertheless, they're numbered. Think of that. Scientists tell us that a black-haired woman has 110,000 hairs, and a blonde woman has 140,000 hairs. And the average woman loses 100 hairs a day. And a man between 20 and 65, it says, removes approximately 23 feet of hair by shaving. And the Bible says this, now listen, that God knows every one of them. Now there are some of you here and you think that your life's too small for God. Sure, what will he be worried about me? I'm insignificant, sure, my life's nothing special. My wee kitchen house and my wee family and my wee job, I'm no earth shaker, I'm no bigwig. But my friend, God is saying, look, if I care for you so much that the very hairs of your head are numbered, there's nothing insignificant about you. I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to leave the 99, and they're special to me, but you're a special, and I want you. I want you. Oh, he said, if the lilies of the field are so clothed, and look how he clothes them in color and beauty, how much more shall he care about you? Even the little sparrow that falls, he knows everything about you. He knows about that sparrow, and my friend, he knows about all the problems, all the perplexities, the tribulations and the trials that you go through day by day, what you have to put up with, he knows about it. And never you get it into your head that he doesn't care about you. For he loves you greater than you could ever know. The sheep was lost. Can you imagine the sheep in the storm? The little mountain, the little peak and precipice there, hanging over the ocean perhaps. And there it is, and all you can see is the four silhouettes of the spindly legs of that little ball of wool as it stands there in the wind and the waves. And as the rain belts down upon it, and there it is out in the wind, bare and lone, lost. What it is to be lost. Can you imagine what that dumb sheep's thinking? No hope. No hope standing over a precipice, waiting just for that last gust of wind to blow it over like a cloud. My friend, do you feel like that at times? Do you feel at the end of your tether, just one more straw to break the camel's back? You're ready to give up? You're ready to just lie back and let life go by you? There's no purpose. There's no meaning for you. Do you feel like that in your soul? Maybe you've been coming to these meetings and you've heard about God and how angry God is with you about your sin, and you better believe he is. And you've heard about hell and you've heard about conviction of sin, and you've been shaken about death and about hell that will follow it, and you've heard about the cross, and you've thought that was my sin upon Jesus there, and you felt your lostness. Sometimes I use a phrase, and it's unbiblical, and some of us use it, unsaved. You'll not find that in the Bible. It's lost. Lost. Eternally lost. Never to be found again. Never to be touched. There was once a newspaper in a district, and they had two photographs in it. One was of the town council, and the other was of a prize-winning farmer's flock of sheep. And they'd put them into the paper, and they'd got the captions below mixed up. And it said, under the council, from left to right, naive and vulnerable, they huddled for security against the uncertainties of the outside world. Is that not what we're like? Oh, we're confident when we're with our friends. Oh, we group together all right, and when we all have the same views, everything's okay. We're confident in our family. And once you're in the prime of your youth, and you have your children to live for, and bring them up and educate them, and everything. But what do you do now, friend, when they're all married off, and they're all gone away, and you're there on your own in your retirement, and you don't know what to do? What life is there for you? You just don't know. No more work, no more family. It's different then, isn't it? The Word of God tells you that. You know the Word of God is full of truth. They're all sitting in their fine halls in university trying to work out the meaning of life. And it's in the Word of God if they'd only open it and look at it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. My friend, you're lost. You're lost in your sin if you haven't got Christ. You're lost in your sin if you've never trusted him, if you've never looked to the cross, if you've never repented of your sin and forsook it and turned to Christ for saving power in his blood. My friend, listen, you're lost. You're out there in the wild winds of life and of sin. And one day, if you don't turn to him before you die or before Christ comes again, you'll be lost in hell. Charles the Ninth and the Bartholomew Massacre was usurped, and he was stabbed several times in the chest, and he lay in his own palace in a pool of blood. And you know what the historical records record about him? He was heard to cry, "I'm lost! I'm lost!" Will the eons of eternity hear your voice crying the same forever? My friend, you are loved, and God loved you, and Christ loved you. But listen, you're lost, and you need to realize you're lost. You need to realize the danger that you're in. But listen, the beauty of the gospel is this, that this parable tells us, tells you that you're looked for. You're loved and you're lost, but you're looked for. It says in verse 4 that shepherd left the 99 and he went out after the one until he found it. Do you know that you're looked for? Do you know who's looking for you? The good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and my shepherd is looking for you. He's out there. He has gone out, and he is following you. He's stalking you down. And the 23rd Psalm says that even through the valley of the shadow of death, he is going. You know, he loves you so much, my friend, that he tells you, I am the good shepherd. Listen, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He loves you so much that he's willing to go out into the mountains wild and bare. He's willing to climb the mountains. He's willing to go down the valleys. He's willing to brave the storm and the snow and the sleet. He's willing to do it all until he finds you. Do you know that in the East, a shepherd would do anything to protect his sheep? I heard the story once about a little boy who was leading his sheep up a mountain road, and there was a precipice on one side and a hill on the other, and he knew that the sheep are so dumb that they would run over the side, and he stood at the side of the precipice to make sure the sheep wouldn't go over, and just one gust of wind or one little nudge by one of the foolish beasts would cast them over. But he loved them so much that he was willing to do it. You see, Jesus Christ loves his own. And as he was bleeding and dying, my friend, now listen to this. He was going through death on the cross for you. He was taking your place. He was bearing your punishment for your wrong, for your lostness, because he loved you so much. He took your place. He suffered all the hell that you could ever have. He took it all because he loved you. Because he was looking for you. And because he wants to find you. And people often ask the question, why did Jesus say on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know why God forsook him? Because he loves you. He loves you. You know, sheep are thankless creatures. Any farmer will tell you that. And some of you have been coming to this mission and you don't care about what Christ did for you. Doesn't make a rap of difference to you that he died on the cross. Doesn't matter that he went through death to look for you. Doesn't matter that we put these meetings on and a mission on. And some of you have run out the door almost every night to get away from the fact that you're loved and you're lost, and God and Christ and the Holy Ghost is hunting you down night by night, looking for you, trying to bring you to himself, and you're running away. Are you running away? Well, he's catching up with you tonight. And my advice to you is this: give up. Give up to him, because he says he'll go after you till he finds you. And I don't know what he's going to have to put you through. And I would advise you to give up to him now. Surrender to Christ and be given a life that you couldn't imagine. I remember hearing about a farmer, and this sheep gave birth to these wee lambs, and she needed help in the delivery of them, and he come over and helped. And because his scent was left on the wee lamb, the mother sheep wouldn't touch it. And he had to look after it. He had to feed it, walk about and nurse it. She wouldn't look at it. And he would bring it over and put its scent upon things and put it under her nose and bring the wee lamb and try to bring her round to the wee child, and it wouldn't have it. And one day that old farmer was walking across with a little lamb in his arms, and it gave out a little bleat. And that mother turned its head in a flash and went like lightning straight for the little lamb. Listen. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. He says that if he hears the voice of his sheep, he will listen. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. And my friend, if you're hearing his voice, you've got to follow him. And if you follow him, He never cussed you out. For what earthly reason would Jesus die but for the fact that He loves you? That wee sheep wasn't just loved and lost and looked for, but listen, as we close, He was lifted. I love that. He was lifted, it says, verse 5, that He layeth it on His shoulders. David put it like this: I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear, and many shall trust in the Lord. I hear this. Look, I couldn't keep that. If I got saved tonight, you know, I couldn't keep out of the pub, and my mates would drive him mad running after me. And I couldn't keep off the fags. I couldn't keep the salvation. Listen to me. If you come to Christ, you may be lost, but He loves you so much that He is willing and able to save you to the uttermost. That means when He takes you, He'll put you on His shoulders and He'll carry you. You'd think He's leaving it up to you. Listen, if He didn't leave it up to you to be saved, He's hardly going to leave it up to you for the rest of the way, is it? No. He's the shepherd that'll put you on His arms, and you will become the apple of His eye, and he that touches you will touch God's anointed. You're special, and you will be special. You're so special that He loved you, and even though you were lost, He risked everything, and He gave His life, and He shed His blood, and He took your hell to go after and look for you. And He wants this evening to lift you, and to put you on His shoulder. A tourist once went to Syria, and he couldn't understand it, because the fold of the sheep was just some stones that were put round in a rectangle, and there was a hole left at the front. There was no gate or anything. And he saw a shepherd one night bringing all the sheep down from the hillside, and he put them in the door, and the tourist went over to him and he said, "Sir, I couldn't help thinking, you see, there's no gate there. Do all those sheep, once you get them in, do they not all come out?" He says, "Oh no. You see, what I do is, when I get them all in late at night, I lie down in front of the hole, and I'm the door." Jesus says to you this evening, "I am the door." And if you get into that fold tonight, you'll never be out, for He says, "No man will pluck you out of my hand." But perhaps like the Israelites who were there, and the angel of death was coming from house to house, and they were told by God to slay a little lamb and to put the blood on the lintel and on the posts. And it says within the word of God, and in the Hebrew, it seems to indicate that they also put the blood on the doorstep. And if they wanted to be saved, they stayed in the house. But if they wanted to stay lost, they would have to tread over the blood of the Lamb on the way out. Some of you, night after night, I'm surprised when you've got home and have taken your shoes off, they haven't been covered in red blood. For you've walked over the death of Christ night after night after night. But yet the miracle of God's grace is this: He still loves you. And He wants to find you tonight.
and he wants to lift you. Let us pray. My friend, it's time for you to come home. If you're a backslider, it's time to come home. If you're a sheep that has wandered from your birth in sin without Christ, it's time to come home. Come home now. Don't let the distractions of the wind and the storm, even the wild beasts around you that would distract you away from the shepherd, don't let them do it. He waits with open arms for you this evening. It's time now to come home. Our Father, we thank thee for the great shepherd of the sheep who gave his life in place that he might buy for himself a peculiar people unto good works. We thank thee for his blood that is able to save tonight as it has always been. And we pray that one of thy lost sheep would hear the voice of the shepherd and would come into the fold. Lord, do a work tonight. Let no one walk out of this place without Christ as their shepherd. Amen.